Greetings. This is Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church with a moment of truth where we challenge you to think through an important issue of life and faith. And today, I want to ask you, why is it that our vote in the recent midterm elections will change very little to nothing at all in the United States of America? I hate to be so skeptical, so cynical, but that is my bottom line conclusion, that our sacred right, our franchise of power, our vote, in other words, has been irredeemably compromised. And that vote in the recent midterm elections will change little to nothing in our country. These last few months have been filled with an orgy of national drama and political theater over the elections recently transpired. They have been called the most important in my lifetime by several commentators, and all but the most clueless Pollyanna progressive knows that there is simply something deeply broken in America that needs fixing. But we have to ask ourselves, why is the choosing of politicians in this election cycle only a constitutional placebo, a dilettante's distraction, a shiny bauble that's dangled before us to distract the dog while the owner prepares to put a thick leash over his neck? Why will this midterm election have little to no effect at all on our rush into tyranny? Well, the short answer is that the balance of power is no longer in the three branches of government created by our founding fathers in the Constitution. Insidiously, over the past two decades, a fourth branch of government has been created before our very eyes, under our very nose, since 9/11. And that fourth branch of government now dominates the other three, for that matter. And I hope in the next few broadcasts to briefly sketch the rise, formation, and operation of this shadowy branch of the federal Leviathan. And I am indebted for the substance of this thesis to an article on the website conservativetreehouse.com. That's one word, conservativetreehouse.com. Just a delightful website with many fine articles and perspectives. And this particular article is written by a pseudonymous author named Sundance. Now, Sundance was a well-placed operative in this putative fourth branch of government, and his need for anonymity is obvious. And the title of his article doesn't really do the article justice. And that title is "The Surveillance and Political Spying Operations Highlighted by John Durham Are the Tip of the Iceberg." Once again, "The Surveillance and Political Spying Operations Highlighted by John Durham Are the Tip of the Iceberg." That's the title of the article, but it's really much more extensive than that. The title is kind of bland. The 35-page article is really a brief history of how the intelligence and law enforcement agencies of our federal government have been weaponized and turned upon the American people, targeting in part our most sacred right, our franchise of power, our vote. And once you understand this, so many of the puzzling aspects of our recent elections begin to fall into place. And you will understand why nothing will change, regardless of whether the results are a red tsunami or a red drizzle for the Republicans, because you see, they are in on the game as well. The author, Sundance, has done deep research, conducted many interviews, and put together many of the puzzle pieces to conclude that since 9/11, the intelligence community of the federal government, empowered and emboldened by things like the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act of 2004, and other legislation, which created, for example, the Department of Homeland Security, which was charged with protecting and serving the American people from terrorist threats, and also creating the Director of National Intelligence, the DNI, which is supposed to be a master clearinghouse for all intelligence products produced by the federal government. Well, they and the broader intelligence community taken together have actually morphed and mushroomed into a fourth branch of government, even superseding the other three branches of government created by our Constitution, the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branches of government. Sundance says early in his article, he says, it is this superseding branch that now touches and influences every facet of our life. He goes on to say then that we can also see how the oversight or check and balance in our system of government became functionally obsolescent. That's a scary thought to contemplate. That the oversight or the checks and balances built into our system of government meant to check runaway intelligence agencies has now become functionally obsolescent. In other words, this fourth branch of government that he calls the intelligence branch is unaccountable to anyone or anything except itself. So, this is why you will never see James Comey or Peter Stroke or Barack Obama or any of the other players in the coup against President Trump. You'll never see them punished for their crimes. For a number of reasons, I'll articulate them here momentarily. For a number of reasons, though, the three branches have become beholden and accountable to this branch of government, the intelligence branch. Do you remember, for example, Senator Chuck Schumer's advice to President Trump when he was running around early in his administration picking a fight with security bureaucrats? Oh, Schumer said, and I quote, "Let me tell you, you take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you," unquote. Getting back at you and get back at President Trump, they did indeed, didn't they? How did all of this happen, dear listener? How has it come about? Is this just another of your conspiracy theories, Pastor Bass? Oh, but yes, there are conspiracy theories. There are conspiracies. As long as man has had the ability to plan one event ahead of another, aware of cause and effect, there have been conspiracies, from the serpent's conspiracy to topple Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to the recent arrest of Richard Patton of Pueblo, Colorado, a Democrat poll worker, for conspiring to change the outcome of an election by inserting a device into a voting machine. Now, Mr. Patton has many accomplices. He was just stupid enough to do it in front of everyone, plus their grandmother. So, as long as man is able to plan, there will be conspiracies. This particular plan to create a powerful federal body to punish one's political opponents has been a long time in the making. And we can go back to President Eisenhower's prescient foresight of the military-industrial complex that he saw forming after World War II, or we can go back to JFK's sobering realization of the unaccountable loose cannon power of the CIA after the debacle of the Bay of Pigs. In fact, some postulate that he was assassinated in part for his attempt to dismantle that agency, the CIA. Or contemplate Richard Nixon, his conceiving of using the IRS to punish his political enemies. Now, he never followed through on it, but Obama actually did. Remember Lois Lerner? Oh, and her delays of approvals of IRS exemptions, right? But this particular conspiracy to wield the vast power of the federal government against we the people was put on a regimen of steroids under the Obama administration. With his right-hand hatchet man at the Department of Justice, that is Eric Holder, President Obama took the pre-existing tools of the Department of Justice and the FBI, and he retooled them to destroy his political opponents. In addition to the Department of Justice and the FBI, Obama now had the burgeoning bureaucracies of the Department of Homeland Security and the Director of National Intelligence, created since 9/11, supplying him with an exponentially vaster sea of information on the American people. More of this than any president had previous access to. Obama was able to construct a formidable weapon whose tentacles reached into and dominated every branch of our federal government. Sundance calls this the fourth branch of government, the intelligence branch, supported by the four pillars of the Department of Homeland Security, the Director of National Intelligence in the executive branch, and the Department of Justice and the FBI. Some amorphously call it the deep state. I have for a long time. without clearly understanding its various working components and the true extent and nature of the beast, the deep state. Well, the clear advantage of adopting Sundance's analysis is that his careful research lays bare the various working components and gives a true picture of the situation we face. This is why it's important. Sundance refuses to ignore the 800-pound gorilla in the room, as the cliche goes. Sundance turns on the light so that we see the scattering cockroaches infesting the political room. He makes the mysterious deep state a little shallower, bringing it a little closer to the surface so that we might see it for what it is, a fourth branch of government. Sundance begins with several valuable stipulations that we must all heed if we are ever going to be able to destroy this metastasizing, cancerous tumor on the body politic. Number one, stipulation number one is that, and I quote him now, he says, to understand the intelligence branch of government, this fourth branch of government that has been created, often mistaken for the deep state, this fourth branch of government. I go on. To understand the intelligence branch of government, we need to drop the elementary school civics class lessons about three co-equal branches of government and replace that outlook with a modern system that created itself. Yes, we must drop the elementary school civic class lessons, right? It's a modest, polite way of saying, wake up, naive American who still thinks we live in a constitutional republic. We don't. True patriots are going to have to face this harsh truth. That elegant wildebeest of a constitutional republic, oh, has long been gutted and filled with a cackling carcass feeding hyena. Oh, the deep state apparatus is what it is. The deep state apparatus controlled by the intelligence branch. That's the cackling, carcass-feeding hyena that has replaced that elegant wildebeest of the Constitutional Republic. Enough of a shell, however, of a constitutional republic remains that it appears as one thing for public consumption, but in reality functions like another thing altogether. That is, it functions like a tyrannical government, which exists to accumulate wealth and aggrandize power for itself, that is, for themselves, the individuals who compose it, and most certainly does not exist to serve the American people. In fact, the case can be made that the American people now serve as the fat, corpulent host for the predating parasite that is the federal government. The executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch of government each go on much as before, appearing to be themselves, but have long been zombified by our intelligence branch, the intelligence branch voodoo masters. We hold elections that send men and women into the swamp to change things, to drain the swamp, don't we? Well-intentioned people we elect and send them into the swamp to change things. But who then, subsequently, are either turned into swamp zombies themselves, or they come out years later wounded, broken, and disillusioned, having changed nothing. As the comedian George Carlin puts it, forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice, unquote. That's a great bit. You can find this on YouTube yet, this comedy bit where George Carlin tells it like it is. Oh, dear listener, when I was a toddler, I had a safety seat in our car that had a steering wheel with a plastic gear shift and even some pedals for my feet. I could pretend to be driving the car the whole time my father was actually driving it. I had a rollicking good time imagining I was in control. This is your analogous situation, dear American voter. You are a political toddler imagining yourself in control with your vote. If you think that you are actually controlling anything by voting in the federal system, nothing will change until we face this harsh reality. We, the people, no longer control the beast. It controls us. And we need to, as Sundance says, drop the elementary school civics class lessons about three co-equal branches of government. Well, secondly, the second stipulation that Sundance lays out is that big tech is now a wholly owned subsidiary of this fourth branch of government, the intelligence branch. According to Sundance, he says big tech industry collaboration with intelligence operatives is part of that functioning, almost like a non-governmental organization, unquote. Yes, big tech is now an NGO working on behalf of the intelligence branch of the U.S. government. This has been a feature, really, of the intelligence branch's inner workings since the Obama days. Steroids. Obama put tyranny on steroids. For example, just one example, during the so-called Arab Spring, you remember that period of the Obama administration, during the so-called Arab Spring, when Obama and Hillary's State Department tried to overthrow governments in Egypt and Syria and Bahrain and Qatar and Libya, the intelligence branches work closely with Facebook and Twitter to gather valuable information on users in those countries, and then also to use Facebook and Twitter to spread disinformation favorable to the Obama administration. As Sundance puts it, this was the point of modern merge between the U.S. intelligence community and big tech social media, unquote. The big merge, between big tech and government. And oh, how that merger has grown, like a marriage of demons made in hell. And it must be noted here that big tech, which includes mainstream media as well as social media, big tech is less the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party as it is a non-governmental organization, an NGO, working in close collaboration with the fourth branch of government, the intelligence branch. And the recent admission by Mark Zuckerberg that the FBI came to him before the 2020 election, warning that the Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian disinformation. Remember that? With the clear implication, by the FBI not to feature it. While this is Exhibit A of the bed partner relationship between big tech and that fourth branch of government. Now, it must be remembered, too, that this collaboration is not a union of sweethearts who just have a fortuitous conjunction of passions and interests. No, the intelligence community mercilessly uses a carrot and stick approach to keep big tech to heel. There's the carrot of government grants and monies, guaranteed monopolies in their field, and power over the flow of events, for that matter. And conversely, there's the stick of congressional investigations, the antitrust suits, fines, even imprisonment of media executives for various crimes, real or imagined. So make no mistake about this reality, dear listener. The intelligence branch of the government will use your personal electronic tracker, also known as a cell phone. It will use your social media accounts. It will use your consumption of news and information to tyrannize you to greater and greater degrees until you find yourself with no private thoughts, no free choices, and only a gray predetermined future that is poorer, hungrier, and sicker than anything you knew in a free constitutional republic. And no election will ever offer you a true choice either. You have no choice, as George Carlin says. You only have an apparent choice between obla-di and obla-da, which in the end proved to be the same thing. Oh, and the third stipulation, then, that we see is that the intelligence branch, the real superseding branch of government, controls and compromises almost every elected and appointed official in all three branches of the federal system. Many examples could be given. What else would you expect, though, from any self-respecting intelligence organization or branch of government, right? The data collection capabilities, the opportunities for clandestine operations are endless. In the first place, they know everything about every man, woman, and child who steps up to grasp at the ring of power straight from Mordor. If you have anything to hide, any embarrassing or compromising skeletons in your closet, anything that would threaten your hold on power, well, the FBI and its sibling agencies knows it, and they will use it to leverage you into doing what they want. And if there is nothing on you, if you really are a Saint Pius or have managed to avoid detection, then they will either create a situation to entrap you or just plain make stuff up, like they did to President Trump with the so-called Steele dossier. Remember that whole debacle? Well, The compromising situations into which one may be maneuvered can be as spicy and sensational as the Lolita Express of Bill Clinton fame, where purveyors of young girls and boys, purveyors like Jeffrey Epstein, entrap men of power who are enticed to secret getaways, to romp and party, all of it recorded and then held over their heads, held over the head of the fool who fell for it for the rest of his life. Or they can be as prosaic, too, as becoming caught up oneself in one of D.C.'s power intrigues, such that he is guilty as the next guy. And Dianne Feinstein, a Democrat from California, is a perfect example of this phenomenon. She was the chair of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence when Obama came to power. And as Sundance puts it, Feinstein was completely controlled by those around her, including Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, unquote. And as you may remember, she had a Chinese spy on her staff that had been compromising her, sending classified information to his Chinese handlers for almost 30 years. Since the intelligence community controls things like security clearances and the classification of information, no one holds a single position of power or a sensitive congressional committee post without their approval. That's control. And then fourthly, the fourth stipulation that Sundance lays out for us is, as Sundance puts it, he says, for their own self-preservation, the intelligence branch has been interfering in our elections for years, unquote. Ding, 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 ding. Ah, the alarm should be going off. The intelligence branch has been interfering in our elections for years. They've had a lot of practice for almost 70 years. The CIA has been honing and perfecting this technique since its inception following World War II. It overthrew, for example, the freely elected government of Mohammad Mossadegh in 1953 in Iran, installing the Shah Reza Pahlavi in his stead. It continued, the CIA, to hone its skills in places like Chile with the overthrow of Salvador Allende in 1973. Now, in both of these places and many others throughout these last 70 years, techniques like the buying of candidates with literally suitcases of cash, or the harnessing of media outlets to broadcast disinformation to the electorate, and the blackmailing and even killing of political opponents. These were all employed by the CIA to obtain desired results. I urge you to read the book Legacy of Ashes, The History of the CIA by Tim Weiner. And he lays out all the history of all of these things. The important thing to note is that now these techniques, these political weapons, have been turned inward on the American people instead of foreign nations. Especially since 9/11, these techniques have been put into warp drive on us. As Sundance puts it, he says, since 9/11, the terror surveillance radar was no longer pointed offshore. After 9/11, the terror surveillance radar was modified to point inland. Prior to the Director of National Intelligence, we the people were what the intelligence system was designed to protect. After the Director of National Intelligence was created, we the people were now defined as the potential threat. The continuity of government was now what needed to be protected from us. As part of protecting themselves, then, the intelligence branch of government must control elections. And this is what they're doing. Sundance goes on to say, our elections have been usurped by the intelligence branch, unquote. This is one reason why, too, now that the federal elections have been compromised and largely controlled, not completely just yet, well, nevertheless, the federal government, this is why the Democrat Party has been lobbying heavily, seeking to federalize all elections, taking control away from the very states. This is one of the last bastions of liberty, dear listener, one of the last bastions we have left, our vote. Our franchise of power at the state and local level. And so we must fight to protect it at all costs and extend that back, the integrity of elections, extend it back, take back the federal elections. from which this integrity has been usurped, as Sundance puts it. Wow, we must face this reality that, as Sundance says, our elections have been usurped by the intelligence branch, unquote, quote unquote. We must not despair, but we must act. We must continue to vote. We must continue to vote, I emphasize, laboring to bring integrity back to the voting booth and, frankly, making the evildoers have to work very hard to commit their fraud. So, by saying that the recent midterm elections will change very little in our nation, I'm not saying don't vote. No, no, no. By all means, we must get out the vote. We must continue every election to vote, vote, and vote. Make the evildoers work for their fraud. Stymie the evildoers. Expose them for who they are. And work hard at the grassroots level to bring honesty and integrity back to our vote. Our constitutional republic is steeped in biblical roots. And justice is at the heart of the exercise of power, justice we do not see today. Moses said, "Justice and only justice shalt thou do in the land." Oh, this principle of justice is extended to our vote. It must be honest. It must be filled with integrity. And if that goes away, so does the republic. We are sunk back into the tyranny of the past, and we become the default setting for the human race. That is slaves. That is what is at stake, dear listener. Do not let this happen. Do not let this metastasize any longer. Become aware of the problem as I have outlined it for you today. Come out of the American naivete, or as George Carlin put it, the American dream. The American dream is a dream because you have to be asleep to believe it, is what he said. Come out of the dream and prepare to take back our republic, dear listener. This has been Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And we meet for holy worship. I encourage you to join us for holy worship on Sundays. You'll be welcome. Sundays at 10 a.m. at 101 4th Street on the corner of 4th and Boulevard. And call us for feedback and more information at area code 208-523-0196. 208-523-0196.